Praise God. Well, it's blessed to be back, and a lot going on. We just had a big Christians United for Israel event in St. Louis this past week, and was a good thing. And we had Major Elliot Chetoff, which is a major from the IDF. He's actively involved with Christians United for Israel. And so he spoke, and he kind of, you know, went over a few things. And then I apologize. Seems like my wife's more popular than I am here. Everybody's where's my wife, but my daughter came in for the week over the holiday, the 4th, so she had to take her back to the airport tonight. She was flying out of Springfield, so she said she promised that next time. She said she'd definitely make it a point to be here. But a lot going on. Pastor Larry and Dr. Loretta told me to tell you shalom. Hello. They send their love and made sure I said that. But then this weekend, starting next Sunday, a week from today, is the Christians United for Israel national meeting in Washington, D.C. And we make a lot of headway. It's the biggest contingency of people that show up and talk to our nation's senators and congresspeople. They say it's the biggest every year. Every year is by far the biggest contingency of people that show up to come meet with them. We talk to them about, of course, the things of Israel, but also the things that are relevant to our Christian values, as far as, you know, my state representative, pardon me, is Vicki Hartzler. Blessed to say that she's born again and spirit-filled Christian. And we pray for her. Roy Blunt, you know, others, you know, senator, he never refuses prayer. And, you know, we meet with them and we just tell them, like I said, what the values of what we're, you know, last year, a couple years ago with this whole, you know, giving Iran that whole deal and the nuclear thing. And, you know, we changed a lot of heads, but it still went through. But you know what? They also said, Lyndon Allen, who is the, I don't want to butcher his title, but he is like the regional director for us, Christians United for Israel. Pastor Larry and Dr. Rutter are state directors for the state of Missouri. But he is the regional. But he said that when the Republican delegates went to have their convention, they said what they asked CUFI, Christians United for Israel, they said, what things do you want us to bring up about Israel? And they said, not only did they do 100%, Gary Bauer is, we're blessed to have Gary Bauer. He was on Ronald Reagan's staff. And he basically sat at home and wrote some points down, and they did them verbatim, word for word. And then he also put some things about that, you know, Christian values as well. So, you know, they started out 10 years ago, 400 people. Now it's up to about 4 million. So I encourage you, not to plug it, but if you want to, can't make it, maybe next year think about it. We do have, you know, meetings from time to time. I will let you know this, on August the 13th at my church, at Walk Underwater Faith Church in Osage Beach, Dr. Billy Brim, and we are having a day, not a night, but a day to honor Israel. Dr. Brim will be speaking at the 10 a.m. service. I know that you come fed. This is your local storehouse, so your church. Come get fed here. But then she'll be speaking in the afternoon that night. She'll be speaking again, and then Lyndon Allen. And like I said, we're you know, having a day to honor Israel. So just to make you aware of that. And if you want to become a member, it's not hard. Just CUFI.org. And if you need more information, I could get to become Daughters for Zion. Men, you can join that as well. I'm a member. And Lynn Hammond, Mac Hammond, his wife, Pastor Lynn, heads that up. And it's intercessory prayer for the nation of Israel, but also for our nation. So, and then once a month, Dr. Loretta does have her conference call, if you will, Daughters for Zion, once a month. So if you want information, I can get that to Pastor Jeff, and he can give you that information, stuff like that. So I'm blessed. So tonight, I'm going to get all the announcements out of the way. I'm going to speak on tonight on the menorah. And before we do, let's just pray. Father, I thank you for tonight, Father God. I thank you for each and every one that's here, Father. Father, I thank you that, Lord, not my will, but your will be done tonight, Father God. And your word says, on earth as it is in heaven, Father God. So, Father, I thank you that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, I ask that in Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Amen. So tonight I'm going to speak on the menorah. The last time I was here, some of you may not have been here, but to refresh you and not to go have a redundancy, but we talked about Bereshit, the first word in Genesis 1:1, and it talked about God's plan from start to finish in that one very word. 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, 70 different layers. Each letter has a number assigned to it, which is gematria. We're going to touch on that again tonight. When you have words in Hebrew that equal the same gematria value as another Hebrew word, very significant. You, sister, bought that Chesed CD, for instance, before service that I have out back, and I've got some books from Pastor Larry, too, that I don't have his new book yet. I'll have that out in a little bit within the next month, I believe. But with that, that equals 72. And there are 72 names of God. So I've studied that. I don't have a complete teaching on that. But the gentleman, Pastor Mark Biltz, he's the same background I am, Jewish heritage 100%, but born again, spirit-filled, and has a, El Shaddai Ministries in Tacoma, Washington. And I talked to him. And I'm blessed to be able to talk to him because he wrote the book, the Blood Moons and stuff like that. And next week I'll see him at Christians United of Israel, but his church is in Washington, Tacoma. But I called him on that, and I said, as I was studying that teaching on Chesed, and maybe next time I come I'll teach on that. I don't know yet, or the feast, or there's another thing that I was blessed since the last time I was here. I went to synagogue with Shavuot. We had Shavuot, I think, that same week that I was here. And I went to synagogue in St. Louis. That's where I go to synagogue. And a good friend of mine, I went to synagogue with him. And there was a teaching that the rabbi did. And I will just tell you that it was just very phenomenal. I did share it with some of it with my pastors, and they're like, yeah, they're wanting me to probably, I'm going to be teaching at Walk on the Water pretty quick and stuff like that. But it was just a really good teaching on God's, how he views us by this rabbi. And kind of ties into that chesed, but with that, like I said, we're going to teach on the menorah. So if we can go to, take this off, a little hot. Thank you. But you don't have to turn it down. It was just, it's like it's a gazillion degrees outside. I got a suit coat on, so I got to take that off. But on the menorah. So we're going to start in Exodus tonight, chapter 25. Give you an opportunity to turn there. Exodus 25, and for time's sake, it's in Exodus 25, verses 31 through 40, if you want to write that down. God instructs Moses on how to make the menorah. He gives specific instructions. Also in Exodus 37, verses 17 through 24, he goes through it again. But it is the lamp of God. Let's look at specifically verse number 36. So he says in verse 36, the Lord was giving instructions to Moses, Moshe, and he says, their knobs and their branches shall be of one piece, and all of it shall be one hammered piece of pure gold. And now we'll go to verse 37. You shall make seven lamps for it, and you shall arrange its lamps so that they give light in front of it. And so with that, he said the word hammered in verse 35. If you notice, he specifically said it shall be hammered. Not used any other tools, but hammered. And if we can go to the second slide, please. In the Jewish Judaism, and even in Christianity, this so you know, you see the seven branches. So you see the center branch right there. Yes, thank you. In Judaism, that is called the chamash, which means servant candle. So that is the candle you would light first, and then you take that candle out, and then you would light the other branches of the menorah. The Hanukkah menorah has nine, and then the regular menorah has seven. There's a different teaching on that because of the 8 days that there were oils that left, and they burned miraculously because there was not enough oil. And that oil had to be consecrated, it had to be pure, it had to be go through a ritual. So they weren't able to get it in time, but God miraculously let the menorah light in the temple for 8 days till they get that, the process and get it purified and sanctified to the Lord. So the center candle, though, of significance is called the chamash, but in Judaism, that represents Mashiach. You ask any Orthodox Jew, they'll tell you that's absolutely unequivocally, they know that represents Mashiach. To us, that's Yeshua, Jesus. That's what that represents, the servant candle. And if you notice, it said, like I said in verse 36, it says, and it shall be hammered of one piece of pure gold. So the word hammered or beaten in Hebrew is racha, and it comes from the word difficult, in the Hebrew word yachir. So the Talmud or Jewish commentaries would tell you that it was difficult for Moses, to comprehend. So the Lord first, when you see capital L-O-R-D also in your Bible, like we talked last time, that's Yud Heh Vav Heh, that's the most holiest name of God, showed him one in the fire, and told him, this is how you will make it. And when Moses was on Mount Sinai, and he didn't just get the Ten Commandments, he got instructions on how to put the temple together, the things of the temple, and this is a living symbol. And I'm not jumping ahead, but this is a living symbol, and you'll see why. Not that the other instruments of the temple weren't important, but this is very, 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 very sacred to God, the menorah. So with that, just think, you're Moses on Mount Sinai, and you got the same mental intellect that he had that we have. And God's showing you this in heavens, and I mean, I'm not making fun of Moses. I don't know if I would have grasped it. So that's what was able, hard to comprehend, difficult. And like I said, he said it should be hammered of one piece of gold. One piece of gold. God specifically instructed Moses to do that. So its weight was 33,000 shekels, it says. In our weight system, it would be 100 pounds, the menorah. It was highly decorative. It had seven branches. Again, we touched on that, seven lamps, nine flower blooms. There's 11 fruits on it, and 22 cups, and it is called the lamp of God. 1 Samuel 3:3, when you remember Eli and Samuel always trimmed and always took care of the menorah, and it said, before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, again, Yud Heh Vav Heh, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was lying down, so it is the lamp of God. So, like I said, very, very, we'll see, we'll get more into that, very, very important to God. But we touched on the word difficult. And the reason being is because we just said that the center candle is the chamash candle, which is the servant candle, and again, represents Mashiach to us, Yeshua HaMashiach, and it was beaten. But the reason was it's a type and shadow of Jesus, Yeshua, the menorah. And Isaiah 53, 5 and 6 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, right? He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are the healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. So now you understand why he instructed it to be beaten. Interesting. There's always a plan with God. There's specifics, you know, very specific. And you don't understand it at the time, but guess what? He does. So there again, Moses, like I said, and I'll say this disrespectfully, yeah, he got the Ten Commandments, but then he just didn't sit up there the rest of the 40 days with God, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, and play cards. I mean, he got the oral law, you know, the Talmud. I mean, that goes on and on and on and on and on, and he kept teaching it through generations, and finally they said, you know, we need to write this down, the Jewish people, so that's when they get the volumes of the Talmud. And if you try to get one of those, there's volume after volume after volume after volume of the oral law. So that's what he was getting up there. So in a mental capacity, I guess, a little bit on overload myself, you know, saying, God, you know, I don't get it either, you know. And that's no slight on Moses. I mean, he saw some stuff that, so, you know, the commentary Jewish commentary says that, he said, you'll take the block of gold and have Bezalel, the carpenter from Judah, isn't that interesting, from the tribe of Judah, make it. So he did, per Moses, or God's instructions that God gave Moses. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins on the cross, or on his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, and by his stripes again we're healed. Because why? He was beaten, he was bruised. So now we understand why God said to hammer. It's hammered. Interesting. If you add the gematria value of fire, and can you go to the first slide, please? There you go. And it is Esh. So that would be right there. Yep, you see those two center letters of the word Bereshit. We're back to that word again, Bereshit. Because there's different words within and layers within each Hebrew letter, but also within Hebrew words. So Bereshit is Bet Resh Aleph Shin Yud Tav. You go from right to left. And then the center two letters, we've got Aleph and the Shin, which is the word Esh in Hebrew, which means fire. So Aleph is equals 1 in Hebrew gematria. And Sheen equals 300, so that equals 301. And menorah is Mem, Nun, Vav, Resh, and He in the Hebrew letters. Mem being 50, Nun being 40, Vav being 6, Resh being 200, and He being 5 equals 301. So menorah and fire in Hebrew mean the exact same thing. Means the exact same thing. So if you take the first two letters, Bet Resh and Bereshit, from right to left, and you take the last two letters, Yud Tav, you get the word covenant, or excuse me, Brit, which in Hebrew means, is in English means covenant. So that is like Britain. That's where you get the word, you know, Britain. They started it because Britain is covenant. And to anyone that's of English descent, might be interesting to know. So God created the earth with a covenant of fire. Interesting. And Esh equals 301, and so does menorah. And menorah represents Mashiach. But John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And who's the Word? Jesus. And the Word was with God. The Word was God, right? In the beginning was the Word. So Jesus was at the beginning. He was there at the beginning of creation. So he created with a covenant of fire. It's interesting to know. The word Bereshit again, we touched on that. is sometimes compared to the letters, or the word Bereshit, because it's got six letters in it, is considered the 6 days of creation. There's always a meaning with the Hebrew letters. Interesting. And the first and two last letters, like I said, equals covenant. So if you add Yud to the middle of Aleph and Sheen, those two, that right there, you add the Hebrew letter Yud into that, you would get the word Ish, or man. Isn't that interesting? And if you add Aleph onto the Aleph Sheen, you add Yud and He, so Aleph, Yud, Sheen, He, you get Isha, or woman. So what's God telling you about marriage? And we know that the menorah is the center, servant candle. So unless you have God in the center of your marriage, you're both consuming fires. It won't work. You got to have, because it's a God-given covenant marriage. Again, he's giving us the whole outline of how God's kingdom is supposed to work on this earth. What did he tell Adam and he told Eve? Be fruitful and multiply. When they were serving the Lord before sin, everything was great. He walked with them in the cool of the day. Amen? But it's interesting that there again, Esh, by adding those Hebrew letters, you get Ish or Isha. Isn't that interesting? So I would think God takes marriage very, 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 very seriously. Man and woman. And that's in Leviticus. I don't want to go on. That's another teaching. But so, also, the very first act in creation to the present universe came with God spoke, and he says, in the beginning, what is the first thing that God said? Light be. He spoke it. So, another way of looking at it from the Jewish perspective is, when God saw what he said the light. So he identified it with the Hebrew phrase et heor, which means the light. Right? So in the numerical equivalence of the Hebrew letters for the phrase or total up of et heor, it equals 613, those two words, the light. And how many commandments did God give Moses on Mount Sinai? 613. Exactly. 613. Isn't that interesting? There's a purpose for everything. And on my prayer shawl, the tallit, there's exactly 613 knots for each commandment that God gave Moses. Interesting. So that's what these knots represent on a tallit, on a prayer shawl. So, again, that's, you know, fundamental Hebrew understanding, but, you know, it's important. Me being a history buff, I don't know why, but that's what God's laid on my heart. I think because of my last name in Hebrew, you got a name, first or last name means something. My last name, Rab, means the same thing as rabbi. So I love study. I like to study Torah, but I also like American history. I like history, but I like American history because, you know what, I live in the United States. I'd like to know what's this gig all about? Why am I, you know, what happened? And my favorite time is the Revolutionary War period. I can't explain why. Yes, I can. God gave it to me. And I study that. I read, you know, a lot of books about the founding fathers and stuff like that. Why, you know, did he, why did they do what they did? Why did they sacrifice? And look what we got today, our beautiful republic. Amen? I mean, it's just, you know, one of those things that it blesses me. So, basically, again, we touched on that. John 1:1, right? In the beginning was the Word. But John, being Jewish, would have known that because he studied Torah. First five books of the Bible is the Torah. So he studied that. right? So when he wrote John 1:1, what's the most logical thing being a Jewish person come to mind? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now let's turn there, John 1:1. We're going to jump around, but and then what does he say in verse 4? And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Interesting. Menorah. And in verse 5 he says, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in these perilous times, in these last days that we're in, it's been prophesied by the prophets that right would be wrong, and wrong would be right. And, you know, you sit there and see how some of these mandates that you're seeing, it's like, wait a minute. But praise God for Malachi 3:6, and he said, I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Yaakov are not, or Jacob are not consumed. And like I told last time, Jesus is the greatest Jew to ever live. Glory to God. I'm blessed. You know, I was telling my wife, she's Jewish heritage too. But we're born again, spirit-filled. But, you know, like I told my wife, I said, I was praying, you know, I do my nightly prayers and stuff like that, and during my prayer time, my wife heard me, and I usually do, I say the Shema and stuff like that, you know, and I pray Matovu and other prayers with my, you know, Hebrew prayer book, you know, my prayer book, but I just felt impressed. I just sat there, and I just, the love of God just came over me. I said, Lord, thank you for allowing me to be part of that heritage. Thank you. But more importantly, thank you for the blood. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did. You were willing to do for me on the cross. Because then Galatians 3:13, his master plan says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, did it not? So that, or it says, excuse me, I'm paraphrasing, but it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, because it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So that the blessings of Abraham, or Abraham, might come upon who? He specifically said, the Gentiles, meaning that the same covenant rights that the Jewish people have, if you're born again and you say, Jesus, you're the Lord of my life, guess what? You have those same rights. And that's why the United States of America government works. It's set up on the same governmental principles when it was founded. I understand some things have gone awry and astray, and I don't want to get on a political stance with that, but some of these politicians, but you know what? Again, Malachi 3:6. I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Yaakov are consumed. So guess what? We are of this world, we are of this nation, the United States of America, but more importantly, you're of God's kingdom. See, in the kingdom, there's no democracy. I mean, God's not pompous, but it's pretty much his way or the highway. I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of times, we all get this a lot of times, I'm sure, in our own Christian walk. Even my buddy and I, when I went to synagogue, and we afterwards, the next day we met at the deli for lunch, had some kosher lunch, but then we were kind of just standing around talking, and there was a more of a, you can say, an anti-Semitic type slur. And you know what? You're accountable how you react. But you know what? Where persecution comes from the word's sake. That's why the devil can't stand the Jews. We got targets on our backs everywhere you go, you know. I mean, but as Christians, we do too. But you know what? Thank God. I'm getting a little off, but you know what? Thank God for the blood of the Lamb. Because what does he say? Revelations. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Because of Jesus' blood, there's nothing more powerful than what his blood did for us on the cross. And then in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then what does Hebrews 4:12 says? The word of God is alive. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing between the joints and the marrow, and able to discern between the thoughts and intents of the heart. Why? Because the word is Jesus. So every time there's something, every time when you pray and you notice that you say in Jesus' name, you know what you're literally doing when you say that, and in Jesus' name when you finish a prayer? You are taking the complete Bible, this word of God, right here, and you're throwing it and slamming it at the devil when you say, and in Jesus' name. Isn't that interesting when you pray? And I just said, Lord, your way today. It's not part of my message, but that's not usually how it works. But glory to God, I'm being obedient. But that's seriously, when you pray in Jesus' name, you're literally taking the whole complete, every the, only, begot, whatever, and all the good scriptures, they're all good. But my point is, that's why when it's like, well, why do I need to read about the genealogy? And, you know, so begat, so, you know, because it was important to God. So don't discredit it, because God doesn't. And you know what? So when you say and you finish your prayer in Jesus' name, pretty much what you're saying to the devil is, I'm throwing everything that this is in Jesus, this word, I'm throwing this against everything I'm standing for. If it's healing, finances, a miracle of something like that, your, you know, husband, wife, children coming around, praying for somebody's salvation, God takes those prayers seriously. So I don't think he doesn't. Takes it very seriously. So with that, I think that, when you read again John 1:1 and 1:4, verse 14 says, and the word became flesh, and it dwelt, and he dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, and the glory only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Pastor Jeff gave me something before service that I'm going to keep, and I treasured it. That was awesome. And it was talking about a father forgiving someone that had murdered his son, his only son. But at the end, it was Father God saying that. And he talked on forgiveness this morning, and you know what? That's awesome. I mean, sometimes in my own personal prayer times, I just say, Father, or Jesus, you know, against your own natural comprehension. And he even prayed, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. In other words, if I don't have to go to the cross here, there's any other way. He travailed because the flesh portion of Jesus, because he came here as a human, and we know that he was tempted in all points just as we were. The scriptures tell us that. He left his deity in heaven. But how did he do? He said because he said. You know, and we get this. I was talking earlier, as you know, a Jewish person or a Christian, we got targets on our back because you'll get people, well, you're judging me. No, I'm not. I'm telling you what the word says. You know, I like what my old pastor in Chicago once said. When you start witnessing to people and tell them about the gospel, don't tell them they're going to hell. They already know that. I mean, I'm not making light of it, but they already know this. They know that by doing the drugs or running around chasing another husband or wife or whatever, you know what I'm saying, or whatever sin they're in, sin, they already know they're doing wrong. And it's conviction coming out of them because, and again, it's not that they're coming against you. They're really not coming against you. And, you know, just tell them, you know what you start with, and I found this works, just tell them God loves you. Just show them the love of God. Show them the path of the love of God. Because 1 John 4:7-8 says the same thing. What? God is love. Jesus is love. And then I get a lot of times, we get people that when you've made your stance and said, yep, Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. Everybody, quick check. Everyone in here is saved. Jesus is the Lord of your life, correct? Everybody? All right. Because if not, we would stop and we'd pray right now and make sure to, you know, let's make this happen. Because this is what it's all about. Yeah, it's mishpacha in Hebrew, it's family. But with that, you know, that's why a lot of times people lash out against you. But at the same time, they want what you have. And you're not judging them. But again, we're talking about menorah. And I'll get to what that represents to us in a little bit. So, you know, I think that, you know, seeing we read these scriptures, and I kind of laid out with the 613 when he said, "Et heor, the light." That's what it actually means in Hebrew. When he said light be, he said the light is what he really said in Hebrew. And it start to finish, 613, that's the gematria value of Et Heor, and that means the same number of commandments he gave Moses on Mount Sinai. So I think when we read, of course, John 1:1 and Exodus and the whole why the menorah came to be, I think it takes on a deeper meaning now, I would think. And I wrote in there Selah, which means to pause, reflect. Whenever you see that, like in Psalms or the word, it says, you know, meaning that you should, don't go on and rush over. A lot of times, I'm guilty as charged. Sometimes when God's talking to you and you're praying and you're like, God, you're not, I don't get it. And finally one time I stopped praying and I said, you know what, Lord, I've been praying about this situation And I'm going to just sit here and wait for you an answer. You know what the Holy Spirit, you know what the Lord told me? It's about time you're quiet. Now I can talk. I mean, guilty as charged. I mean, we've all been there. You're getting laughs of recognition because, you know, we're doing all the talking and God's just sitting there like this because the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He doesn't force us, you know what I'm saying? And Jesus was the same way, right? You know, with all the accusers, you know, when, you know, caught the woman in adultery, which is interesting. The leaders of the Jewish faith caught a woman in the act of adultery. So basically they were watching ancient porn because they were looking in the windows. How would they know that they're doing something? Think about that. I'm just giving you a Jewish thought process, but think about that. Why would you look in somebody's window? Right? I don't say that lightly. I mean, seriously. You shouldn't be doing that. You're peeping Tom. And then they drug her out in front of Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He started writing in the sand. Jesus is like, man, I can't wait to talk. I mean, he does talk to me, but man, face to face, panim, panim, you know? That's in Hebrew. Panim means face. And I can't wait.